I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. As if war weren't bad enough for Syrians to live through, they now have polio to deal with, too. The World Health Organization has confirmed an outbreak of the infectious disease among babies and toddlers in northeastern Syria. Now the Syrian government says it's working with international organizations to mount a polio vaccination campaign in the middle of its civil war. It says the goal is to immunize all children in Syria, even those living in rebel-held areas. The BBC's Lise Doucette is one of the few international reporters in Damascus. She says of all the tragedies she's seen in Syria, the outbreak of polio is among the most heartbreaking.
You hear the hopes of Syrians, especially the youngest Syrians, that someday this war will end, that for the children with polio, the impact of the war will be with them for the rest of their lives. Polio is incurable. There has no treatment. And there is a very, very deep concern that there are still areas which the government cannot reach with the help of the United Nations to vaccinate urgently. Possibly 500,000 Syrian children are not being vaccinated. And polio moves very, very fast. And it moves with people. And with millions of displaced in Syria, some 6,000 crossing borders every day, the risks of infection, not just in Syria, but across the region, are very, very high.
Of course, this is happening while the war rages. Is there even the mental space for these parents you met to be thinking about a disease?
As one mother said to me, there is nothing more important to a mother than her child and the health of her child. And health officials, government health officials, the United Nations is deeply worried about this. All Syrians should be, and everyone around the world should be, because the future of your children is the future of this country. Now, we did speak to some UN officials who say there have been talks about using the Syrian Arab Red Crescent Society, the volunteers there, who have been crossing lines, are working in both areas controlled by the opposition and the government. So there's some hope that perhaps they can begin get to some of those areas. But I have to say, you know, I've been around in the suburbs of Damascus. We watched the partial evacuation of Muadamiya this week, and people came out in terrible condition. And we know that both sides in this war are still not putting humanitarian concerns above the war, above politics, and using siege, the denial, the blocking of aid and food as a weapon of war. The opposition is using it in the north. The government is using it around Damascus. And so the appeal has gone out from Syrians, from the international community, for what they call a vaccination ceasefire, for a humanitarian ceasefire. Let the people not suffer for this punishing war.
So they're talking about a vaccination ceasefire. But for those moments where the interested parties have gotten into these areas under siege to deliver medicine or food, how do the negotiations happen when the sides are so polarized? I mean, is there any room there for duplicating that kind of intervention?
Well, as you know, Marco, in many conflicts in the world, and you've seen some of them yourselves, it's that people do talk. They talk between relatives, they talk between representatives, they talk, you know, behind closed doors, behind the glare of the media. But in some parts of the country, there's no talking going on at all, which is why they're using intermediaries like the Syrian Arab Red Crescent Society. But take the case of Muadamiya. There was said to have been a temporary ceasefire arranged between the government and the opposition, in which the fighters would be allowed to go free. But we saw them being separated, women, children on one side, the young men on the other, and they were taken away. And we've been trying to confirm where those men are. The opposition activists we speak to inside Muadamiya say anywhere from 230 to 500 young men are now in a military detention center. It's impossible to confirm that because that is in the realm of intelligence and security here. But it's clear some men were taken away. We saw them boarding those buses, and we've heard that not all of them turned up at the shelter where the women and children are now. So the opposition says a trust was broken. You made a deal and you didn't honor it. And that, of course, means that there will be even less trust the next time they try to arrange a deal in another besieged suburb. But it's very, very hard with the wars of our time, particularly the war in Syria. We're not talking about trenches. The war is on society. I saw one neighborhood on the edge of Damascus. We're not talking in the north and region, the edge of Damascus, which looked like an earthquake zone, where we were shown by one of the Syrian soldiers there that the Syrian troops were on one side. The opposition fighters were on the other. They fought house to house, street to street. There is nothing left there. And that is Damascus in the 21st century.
Lise, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Marco.
The BBC's Lise Doucette speaking with us from Damascus.